if you want to start eating more vegetables, you know, pour a little gravy over it. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying.
Oh, boy. This is definitely not Joel Fuhrman, Dr. Fuhrman's advice. This is from quasi-Dr. Murthel.
Hi, Onyx fam. Welcome to The Onyx Life, where change comes with challenge. Every episode, we take you on a journey moving you from the struggle life to the Onyx life, creating happy homes, financial empires, and of course, exploring the lighter side of life. My name is Murthel.
And I'm Rita. Today, we're going to be talking about fake food. Well, you know, there's a lot right now going on the internet with fake food.
Right, like that one, I saw this one where this Chinese man was like literally making some cabbage or some lettuce, something, but it was like completely fake.
But what, I remember that video, but what was he actually using? Was it, but wasn't it still food though?
Well, here's the thing.
It was still, that it was like, it was at least like this, was still food.
It was like green, this green paint and then some kind of clear paint. And then
food.
And then he dipped it in water. He dipped that in water. And as he dipped that in water, it like formed into some type of white base. Then he put like a green paint in the water, added it to that. And then all of a sudden you see him starting to like move his hand around. It looked exactly like lettuce.
Right. And I thought it was food, but I now that I remember that, I'm like, oh yeah, that's not food. But the interesting thing that a video cannot do is that it does not tell you the smell. It does not tell you how it tastes. It doesn't even tell you how it really looks because things look so different in person.
Well, here's
the thing. I can't see someone going, ooh, look at, this is so tasty, fake cabbage or
but
fake
you know what?
Lettuce.
Like when he cut it, it looked exactly, and it even seemed like it had the texture because you know when you cut something, it looked like it had the texture. So what I heard is this. I heard that particular, I can't talk about everything, but that particular video, it was in Chinese or some type of native tongue of an Asian country. And because we can't understand it, the person that puts it out makes us believe that, oh, it's like Chinese invading America with fake food and trying to kill everybody.
Right.
But the truth is that particular one was actually advertisement for fake food. It literally was planned to be fake food. It was not planned to, you know, be shopped around as and shipped to America. It was actually showing people how you can make fake food to put in your display in the market. So,
So fake food that was literally for a purpose. And that's
right.
Exactly the problem with viral videos. We don't know we don't really know what the intent is.
Right.
You know?
Because there's another one about
someone
like
said
plastic rice for Africa to kill off.
The right. But even if someone said in the caption, this is actually for a display, there would still be a large percentage of the population that wouldn't even read that.
That's true.
And would say, oh, I knew it.
I knew it. Those Chinese.
I'm just going to buy American.
Right.
But, you know, there's an even greater danger than that kind of fake food out there. And that is food that we're eating on a daily basis that literally has zero or close to zero nutrients in it.
Right.
So you have things like we could talk about Twinkies.
Yeah.
Oh, we both said that. That's funny. But just beyond Twinkies, it's in so many of our food. In fact, what they
potato chips, like
that, even without processed food, though, they are saying, though, that even our potatoes and fruits and all these things don't even have the nutrients they used to have because of the soil and the pesticides and things like that and their GMOs. So we are lacking in nutrients, although those are better than the processed food.
Well, of course, because it's not processed.
But
so
then
it's not.
Someone's going to say, well, no, it's not better because when I drink this orange juice, they've fortified it with calcium and magnesium and all sorts of stuff they had to inject into that juice. Mm-hmm. But still.
Man, we're in trouble. I mean, we do not have to look to China to say we are invaded by, you know, these processes and these things that are not good for our health. We have our own problems in this country.
Right. And the problem with this fake food is that we are gaining weight.
Right.
But we're not nourished. We are malnourished. And we are eating food unknowingly, because sometimes we say, oh, well, I'm going to get this heavy piece of grainy bread, and there's my nutrients. Mm-hmm. When I just read an article that there were these people who have lived, you know, abroad in all sorts of other countries, and then they had no problem with bread, no problem with gluten.
Right.
Then they come over here, and all of a sudden, they cannot tolerate gluten because something is going on even with our grains.
So the way that other people are making bread is not the same way that we are.
No.
And they're not using the same type of grain.
Right.
Well, I feel that there are so many companies that are selling seeds and selling grains and selling all these like really fake stuff, mm-hmm. trying to make a buck. And right. it will grow something, but what it grows is not what we were accustomed to years and years and years ago.
No, every generation, the food is faker.
Yeah.
Every generation. When I grew up, I ate, I grew up on meat. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had meat, I had potatoes, I had rice. I was actually very, very, very skinny. Mm-hmm. But I ate to my heart's content, very skinny. And I didn't in general eat a lot of sweets. I started doing that towards high school. But I just look at what my kids eat today versus what I eat today. And certain things taste different. So, for right. example, there's a fast food restaurant. And I feel that whenever we get food from there, I feel like I eat air. So I don't even eat over there anymore. I just do not eat it.
I know what you're talking about.
Right. I don't want to say it because I'm not going to,
right.
you know, I'm not going to have someone, you know, get upset with us for talking about it. But there is a fast food restaurant out there that I have seen over the years. They have given more and more and more portions. Where it's like, here's a box. Now fill it up with however much you want. Now, any company that does that to me knows, okay, they know they're not really losing any money here. Right. So they are cheaply producing this food,
right.
this quote unquote food. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, hey, eat more and more and more. People are getting fat off of it.
Right.
But it's like as if you ate nothing.
And the meat.
And then you want to buy more and more and more.
Because you're not full. The meats are just full of fillers.
They're it's just gross.
Full of fillers. So they take probably the worst part of the beef, the worst part
if
of the chicken.
If it could even be called beef, you could probably be a vegetarian
right.
and go and order a beef, you know what, and then say, oh, well, it's not meat.
It's almost not even meat anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But they do. But if they do have the meat, it's probably the worst part of the meat, not necessarily the you know the greatest part of that meat. And then they fill it with fillers. So it's just we are in a really really bad place because you know we are not receiving nutrition.
No, we're
I
not.
I remember eating like an orange back in the day and having to like spit out like a ton of seeds. Like,
right, right.
Like half the orange was seeds. And now you don't have to buy a seedless orange for it to be seedless. It,
right.
You have like, what, three seeds in a regular orange? And it's like, what?
And with all of this, why are we all still getting fatter? We're
right.
getting fatter because we're ingesting calories, but we hardly have any fiber in any of our food now. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot more fat. And you know that saying, the fat you eat is the fat you wear. Now, I know someone's going to say, no, what about the keto diet? Well, we'll get into that diet mm-hmm. on another podcast.
Right.
But right now, what we want to introduce you to is something called Eat to Live. Now, the reason why we're going to go into certain diets is because on our last podcast, on our health day on Wednesdays, we had rattled off a list of all the diets we have tried.
Right.
And we have said, well, this worked for me and that worked for me and this did and that did and this one didn't at all. And we thought, you know what, why don't we introduce you guys to these diets? Because, you know, weight loss and health, sometimes it's not just a one size fit all.
Right.
You know, there. I think that there is, in general, though, one way to eat and live where you will have the most health and longevity in life. But when you're talking about like weight loss, there's a ton of ways to do it.
Right.
But so what we want to do is go through some of those diets. But the first one we wanted to talk to you about is called Eat to Live. This is by Dr. Joel Fuhrman. I actually tried this a few years ago, and the weight just fell off. And I felt healthy. I felt energetic. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, Rita, why didn't you stay on it? You know what it is? It's a habit. Mm-hmm. And so I broke the habit. I didn't do this long enough to really break my bad habits.
Right.
And you know what it is you, after you start seeing some good results, you want to treat yourself, right?
Right, right.
So
right.
It's like,
Hey, I lost some weight. Let's go out and eat.
Let's go eat this now, you know? And then it becomes, and then at the time I moved right around that time.
So transitions are never good for lifestyle change.
Exactly. So, you know, there you go. Now, Eat to Live is about eating nutrient-dense foods, mm-hmm. and it's basically as much as you want of it.
I love that saying, eat to live, because I, you know, generally have lived to eat. You know, just, that's one of my favorite things to do. I love to eat. So it's just, it's the counter of that. Eat to live is the counter of live to eat.
Well, I mean, I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell. He's researched it, and he says that the foods you need to eat, you can eat as much as you want of these: raw vegetables, cooked green and non-green nutrient-rich vegetables, which would be like spinach, kale, things like that, beans, legumes, bean sprouts, and tofu, and fresh fruit. Hmm. He says those have... they're just packed with antioxidants and all sorts of nutrients that not only help you become nourished, but it prevents aging. It keeps your arteries clear and soft. It keeps your skin glowing. It keeps your hair growing.
Right.
He talks about it keeps you, you know, your joints nice and soft and flexible. So he's talking about, don't just eat to just lose weight. He's saying eat to live. He calls himself a nutritarian. So basically, it's all about the nutrients. What he wants you to limit, though, are cooked starchy vegetables mm-hmm. and whole grains, because he says those have a lot of calories, but they're not necessarily rich in nutrients. Raw nuts and seeds, avocado, dried fruit, and ground flax seeds. Now, he says limit those. He didn't say don't eat it.
Right.
He just said limit it. What he says do not eat is dairy, meat, and animal products. Now, I want to say a caveat here. He is not actually advocating a vegan diet, but what he says is, you know, limit it. And the reason why it has to almost be like a don't eat it is because when you give someone an inch, they take a mile.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and so it's like, I can eat chicken? Okay, chicken every day, chicken every meal. But he says, you know, don't ingest fruit juice and oils and added salt. He says in the book that you could actually be healthier eating meat, but you consume a ton of fruits and a ton of vegetables and beans and other things like that versus someone who's like, oh, I'm a vegetarian. But then all you eat are like Rice Krispies, potatoes, right. You know, just like junk food, pretzels, chips, and all this junk food that may not have meat in it, but it's still not nutrient dense.
Right. It's just, you're just filling up your stomach, but you're not actually nourishing your body. And your body, it's more than your stomach. Your stomach, the whole objective is not to fill your stomach. The whole objective is to feed your cells so that they're oxygenated, that your blood is getting all the nutrients it needs to do its job well. And that's when you know, when you wake up in the morning and you're feeling alive, you open your eyes and you're energetic and you're ready to go and your body is not stiff and you're feeling, you really feel great. And you don't need coffee to get that feeling. You don't need, you know, you don't need some kind of muscle relaxant, because it's just naturally hydrated. It is naturally nourished. That is what it feels like and what it means to eat to live.
I know. I felt that way when I did it. See, one of the ways that he says you can really add these vegetables and this leafy green, and he says, remember, non-nutrient dense greens are still good because it still has those phytochemicals in it. So lettuce. Mm-hmm. So one of the things, I shouldn't say it's non-nutrient, it's low calorie, but when I would eat a salad, I would also put cooked vegetables on that salad.
Now, why would you do that? Because I generally, when I have a salad, I do not want anything warm on it. Like, oh,
you know why? Because in the book, he recommended doing that because mm-hmm. it made you feel more full.
Okay, so it's all about making you feel full.
Right. Now, if you're just eating vegetables and lettuce, that is not, it doesn't have a lot of carb.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have a lot of carbs. And of course, it has no fat. So, and it's lower on protein. So what would happen is if you only eat the vegetables and, you know, there's nothing else with it, you are going to feel like, let's say you eat raw vegetables and just lettuce.
Right.
You're going to feel like, oh, my goodness, I got to eat more. But when you cook the vegetables, it actually makes you feel more full. So when you eat that lettuce and that vegetables, you think you're eating a lot more.
Gotcha.
Because you are feeling full, but you're mm-hmm. not. You're still having, a very nutrient-packed diet, but it's low calorie.
Right.
One of the other things he really advocates is beans. There have been studies that have shown that people who eat beans on a daily basis are live longer. In fact, one of the things when we talked about the blue zones, one of the things that linked every single of the zones together to say, why did these people live long? What are they doing? Was that most of them actually ate beans on a daily basis.
Hmm.
So beans, they felt, was that magic food. Like, wow, we got to make sure we have our beans. So, right. Anyway, he talks about how refined foods are linked to, I could list the cancers, but I mean, it would be really just, I would just be sitting here basically saying all, okay?
Right.
All basically. Cancers. And then heart disease and diabetes and gallbladder disease. And he's saying that when you eat a nutrient-rich diet, you are ingesting chemicals that fight all these things. So if you just say, oh, I'm a vegetarian, but I'm going to open this bag of Cheetos. And some of you listening will say, well, who does that? I actually know people that do that. I've done that before. I've known vegetarian people who will be like, I'm a vegetarian, but then eat like, you know, a whole mess of vegan ice cream or chips or things like that.
But I can understand, you know, kind of the point, but I mean, can't a person have some chips every now and then or have some?
Yeah, but it's called the bulk of their diet though.
Oh yes.
It's the bulk of their diet.
So that's what you're saying. You're basically saying is some people call themselves vegetarian. They don't eat fruits. They don't eat vegetables. They don't eat
anything.
Because of the carbs. They don't eat brown rice. They don't eat potatoes, sweet potatoes.
Right.
They don't eat legumes, but they'll eat potato chips.
Uh-huh.
They will eat.
They will fast track it to the vegan frozen food section.
Right.
And be like, oh, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to buy that. And it's all microwavable. So then zapped all the nutrients the microwave.
I cannot stand watching commercials or nutritional, you know, advice on the internet where somebody's like, ooh, you could get so much nutrients from this, whatever, broccoli, potatoes, whatever it is that they're saying. And then they throw it in the microwave. Like, you just killed it. You just killed everything that you could have, that would have been beneficial to you.
Right. He talks about how plant foods are nutritional powerhouses. Now, remember what I just said about lettuce, so it's not doesn't have a high fat? I was talking about iceberg. Romaine lettuce, for example, though, is rich in protein. Bet you didn't know that. And essential fatty acids. Interesting part is people always say, I got to eat my salmon. Because I got to get my essential fatty acids from my salmon.
Right.
And like I said, he's not saying actually don't eat salmon because he's saying if you're going to eat salmon, but you're going to be eating like vegetables and romaine lettuce and lots of fruits and stuff like that, he's like, you're going to be healthier in the long run.
Right.
So, but he really gets into, I love his book. It's very easy to read. And it really breaks it down. There's a ton of people who have started to eat his way and they've dropped hundreds of pounds, hundreds. Wow. And they have reversed all their major illnesses.
And that's critical. That is so critical because, I mean, we could talk about weight loss, but weight loss can be such a superficial conversation, especially in this society where it's all about how you look on the outside. Now, it's a totally different story if the conversation is about losing weight because you want to rid yourself of diabetes or you want to rid yourself of high blood pressure, or you want to rid yourself of, you know, complications that are associated with an obese lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But you know, but please, you know, this obsession with weight loss, this obsession with how we look, this is not necessarily a health conversation.
Right, right. And I just, like I said, I want to emphasize he's not advocating a large meat-centric diet at all.
Right.
In fact, I think he would say it's much healthier to not have any meat in your diet, but he is more on the side of, listen, just eat nutrient-rich food mm-hmm. and watch your body heal.
Yeah, that's so nutrient-rich, how does your body feel? How is your body responding to itself? And how are the organs functioning between one another? What does the kidneys need? What does the liver need? What essential, you know, vitamins and things of that nature does the eye need, or does the heart need? All of these things, he is advocating that when we eat, we must be actually feeding. It's almost like when you feed your mouth, different organs almost have a mouth, sort of say. And each one of them needs certain essential things in order for it to function properly. And most people are not really looking at it that way. They're just looking at, man, I'm hungry. Oh my goodness, what do I want to eat?
And the thing is, when it comes to eating this way, we have to understand that when we eat this way, we are eating a wide variety of food. When we see all these studies that are like, here, have a cup of broccoli every day, you'll avoid this. Have a pound of corn, you'll avoid this. Have like 5 apples a day and you like, that's right. Not the way we're supposed to eat. We're supposed to eat. Right. We are supposed to eat a wide variety of fruits and vegetables and legumes.
Because you're getting something from each one of them.
You are getting something from each one of them. And you are still getting something from potatoes. And especially like sweet potatoes.
Right.
These are very nutrient dense. You know, I know that there's been a war on potatoes for years now. But when you, and we will definitely go through this diet on another, maybe even next week, the starch solution, mm-hmm. you will see that the potato is your friend. It can actually really heal and reverse all your, I don't want to say all, because then people say, you told me this, but it will reverse most, if not all, of mm-hmm. your dietary diseases.
And we'll tell you what the culprit is. The culprit, at that time, we'll tell you what the culprit is when it comes to potatoes.
Exactly.
We'll tell you what the culprit is.
Exactly. So I just can't say enough good things about this diet. And I don't want to say diet. It's a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle because right. basically he's just advocating a true vegan, vegetarian sort of diet. He doesn't see... I can't say, though, that he says that because I don't want to misrepresent it. But when you look at what he says to mostly eat, hey, it's plant food. It's plant food. That's where we're getting the most of our nutrients. And I know right now there are a lot of people out there, and some of them are listening to this going, I am on a paleo diet, or I am on the keto diet, mm-hmm. or... I mean, someone could even be listening that's on a carnivory. Have you heard of that?
But it just sounds like you're eating a lot of meat. You're carnivore.
That's exactly what it is. And they're saying, and I'm extremely healthy. A lot of these new diets have not been studied long term. A lot of these diets are new. People are on there, and you have to understand, in 50 years, we're probably going to have a whole lot to say about these diets and what it did to a generation of people. And right. people say, well, no, that's not going to happen. Well, it did with cigarettes.
Right. Everybody was saying that, you know, it's not that bad. They make it way worse than it really is. Right. And then they'll point to something else and say, it's not like it's this.
Prior to this, back in the day, and I'm talking far back, like 1800s, cocaine was actually said, hey, you know what? Take this and you'll feel better. I can't even remember what it treated, but I saw right. the ad for it. And it was just like, what?
Doctors also used to use tobacco to also, you know, for health benefits. So it's amazing how the medical community, I'm sorry, but I can't really fully trust it, because there's always been ties from the medical community to money-making marketing schemes. And so it's very hard to 100% just say, I am just going to listen to what, you know, this particular group of people have to say, especially when they're working hand in hand with another group of people. So you always feel better if you're just getting the information from sources that are just like multiple sources, so that you can derive to your own truth. That's very important.
Right, right. So his book, like I said, it's very easy to read. And it has at the end frequently asked questions like, well, should I take vitamins or should I take supplements? And I am not going to say, because I would rather you eat. I'd rather you read the book. Yeah. Now, one thing he's saying is he's not saying to avoid junk food forever. But again, I think it's a slippery slope. People eat this stuff and think, well, I'm only going to have one a day. That's okay. Like, I remember before I would be like, I'm only having one cookie a day. Mm-hmm. Like, whoa, how many cookies is that per month, per year? That's a lot.
Well, just consider just the statistics when it comes to just drinking one soda drink per day. You know, I saw some statistics and they tracked it over the course of time, because I guess there were certain types of sugars in each one of these things. And as they moved to high fructose, and then as the portion started growing, the numbers kept on changing. But it started off with like one soda a day made you gain something like 6 pounds. And then now, many, many years later, one soda a day, and it's saying that you're going to be putting on like 56 pounds per year.
My goodness.
56 pounds per year? With one soda, based on what's in the sodas now, that is incredible. So yes, you know, you can do something once per day and it has compound effects.
So he talks about G-bombs. He says, eat your G-bombs. G-bombs stand for greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds. These are the most health-promoting, anti-cancer superfoods on the planet. Mm. Let me list that again. Greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds.
Wow.
He said in the book, you know, eating those every day, that does far more for you in your fight against cancer than having to go on the other end, you know, and attacking it through another way. Now, he's not saying, you know, he didn't say that. I'm saying that. Basically, he's saying eat those and prevent a huge, huge life change, you know.
So he's dealing with preventative.
Exactly. One other thing he says, too, is eat at mealtimes only. That means no snacking, even on foods that are listed under the Eat Liberally. Eat only until you are satisfied and stop before you are feeling full. Leave at least 13 hours between your last meal of the day and breakfast. This will give your body time to enter the fat-burning stage of digestion. Now, the interesting part to this is that he goes into detail in the book about why you really need to get to the point where you are where you're not eating as many calories and you are lean. Because studies have shown that lean people live longer.
Right.
And that calorie restricting actually has, in all studies, increased lifespan as well. Now, when we say calorie restricting, we're not talking about eating less than what your body needs per day. But what he's saying is just not eating over the amount. That's why he didn't say eat until you're full. He said eat until you're satisfied.
Right.
So that is interesting. So this whole 13 hours, we are basically talking about intermittent fast for 13 hours. And of course, I will get into that. I didn't do it knowing it was intermittent fasting, but when I stopped eating at 3, I was dropping weight again.
Hey.
So, you know, it was like, man, I don't know why I didn't continue with these things, but, you know, it's hard. So anyway, So those are a couple of the things that, you know, he talks about in the book. He says, just say no to sugar and other sweeteners, oil, salt, processed baked goods, and products made with white flour. Mm. They are disease-causing, addicting, and they create depression.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
I mean, that's incredible. A lot of times, you know, we hear about people killing themselves. We hear about people saying they're depressed. And, you know, you would never think that there may be a link to what you're putting in your mouth. I mean, a lot of these people, they're, you know, on drugs. But what I find is that whatever deficits that we have because we're not nourishing our body the way we should be nourishing our body, I find that we try to resort to some kind of drug to make up for it. So some people will say, what do you mean? Like, I'm totally against drugs. But when I say drugs, I'm not just talking about, you know, illegal drugs. I'm talking about, you know, sociable, acceptable drugs. I believe that, you know, nicotine is a drug. I believe that caffeine is a drug. You know, I believe, like, if you just look at, you know, the definition and what a drug does and the addictive properties, sugar is a drug as well. And so we turn to drugs when we're not eating properly. When we're tired, we say, oh, I need to wake up. I can't do without my coffee. That's a drug. You're turning to a drug as opposed to turning to nutrient-filled approaches to making sure that your body is no longer tired.
Mm-hmm.
And or drinking a Coke, or, you know, I need to relax. I need a cigarette. I need to relax. I need, you know, to smoke a joint. Like, all of these things, we are turning to drugs in order to meet those needs.
Right.
You know, the comfort foods, and when you eat, getting that high, getting that those hormones pumping in your body when you eat certain foods. Why? Because you're not balancing your body well. And so you're looking for these artificial highs, these artificial feelings. So it's so important for us to just pay attention. Just pay attention to the cycles, because we have created a lot of cycles in our life and we didn't realize how they crept up as creeping compromise, as habits.
Right. Right. You're going to hear a lot in the coming weeks from a lot of different people from a lot of different angles, basically all saying the same message. Most of our diseases, most of our issues are being caused by our diet. We got to watch what we put in our mouths. It's not worth it. It is not worth it. You know, I was telling my husband that I've slowly weaned myself off of certain foods because I would feel an immediate problem when I ate certain things. And it really should not have to take, I'm having stomach pain when I eat this or when I drink that. Before I get off of it.
But it can almost be a blessing, though, to have those immediate problems, because when you don't have immediate problems and you have more long-term effects that that are not necessarily correlated to your day-to-day eating. Like, if somebody eats puts something in their mouth that's not good for them and it hurts their belly, really severely hurts their belly, they're not going to continue eating it.
Right.
That day.
Right.
They're going to be cautious to eat it the next day. And when they eat it the next day and the same thing happens, then they're probably not going to eat it ever. They're done.
Just like I was done.
Right. But if you eat something that's not good for your body, but it affects your heart and you didn't get a heart attack, and you eat it again the next day because you didn't get a heart attack. In fact, your heart didn't even hurt. And then you eat it again. Because it's affecting your heart. You go to the doctor. The doctor says, oh, well, you know, we notice that your heart is enlarging.
Cholesterol is high.
And
blood pressure is kind of high.
They're saying all these words.
Here's a pill.
You know, and here's, exactly. So if you're not getting this drastic effect, if every time you ate it, you had a heart attack, well, then you'd have stopped. But, you know, some of these things are just silent killers. They're just gradually just nicking away until, before you know it, it's too late. You had a stroke or you had a really debilitating heart attack, and now, you know, life has changed for you. And maybe if you had the stomach ache, you'd be better off.
It's true. It's true. We joke around. My husband and I joke around, and I say he has an iron stomach, meaning he can digest anything. He can eat something and then lay on his stomach and go to sleep. Like, that could not happen for me. I must sit up and, you know, or else, I mean, it's just uncomfortable. I don't even know how he does that. But basically what we're saying is that I don't think he wishes he had three actions like I do.
No.
But I don't, yeah, I know. I don't think you wish but that.
Definitely, but definitely, I can see the benefit though.
Right. And I can see how hard it is when you have like a nice iron stomach that can digest anything. And it's much harder to get off of certain foods. Right. Right. For me, I mean, I am unintentionally more like a vegan or a nutritarian because there are certain things I just cannot eat anymore. I just don't cope with it well. And I have found that I have to now really look forward and enjoy food that I should have always been eating. I have to look forward to it more. And I'll give you an example. So for example, I have a sweet tooth. Wow, I have a sweet tooth, okay? And he actually talks about it in this book, about a natural sweet tooth and what we should really be filling that with. But anyway, I have a sweet tooth. And of course, it's also a habit. I don't think that, you know, you're not born going, I need cake. You know, you're born with a sweet tooth, right. But, you know, it's supposed to be indulged with things that are not going to, you know, overburden your digestive health. So anyways, the other day, I bit into this cake thing, like a slice of cake from this bakery. And literally, I felt like, oh my goodness, I think I'm catching a cold. Now, that is very strange, but it's happened to me now twice. I've come out of this restaurant after a brunch one time, this other restaurant, and I had just finished eating like a real syrupy, sweet potato pancake. Like, it wasn't like a healthy sweet potato pancake. It was just like really, really probably refined, processed, very, very sweet. And I was like, man, I feel like I'm catching a cold. And I feel like this is strange. Why is it when I'm just biting into something that's sweet, I feel like my immune system is like, we're gone, we're done. Mm-hmm. So naturally now, I just went through that actually just recently, and it was the worst timing, which we'll talk more about Friday, why we were actually gone last week after saying, hey guys, we're going to start. I had a family emergency that I had to go deal with in another state. And I was sick for most of the time. It was the worst timing. I'm trying to be here for my family. I'm trying to get myself together. I'm trying not to overburden myself with grief. And I'm fighting a sickness. I was like, this is not worth it. That bite was not worth it. So what does Rita do now? I'm the type, there's another thing about me that Myrthel knows that you guys don't know is when one thing happens to me, good or bad, if something happens to me bad, I will just avoid it like the plague.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but this is not good, people, because I haven't flown in years. Right. So, but on one end, it kind of is good because what will happen is, oh, okay, so I ate that sweet thing and I got sick. Forget that. Never going there again.
Right.
I won't be eating that. And so now I've been like, watermelon and grapes. Yay, I like that. And so that's just one example of how something will happen to me. And then I'm like, well, I'm writing that off. I had this weird reaction one time to chicken. Tried it one more time. Same weird reaction. Well, haven't eaten chicken in years. So that's just the way, I guess God works with me to get me to get where I need to get. And so anyways, my diet has gradually narrowed to where I actually feel very comfortable and very good because it is now mostly plant-based. Now, there are a couple of things that I probably should definitely get off of when it comes to like certain dairy. And that one, I really do not want to wait for a reaction. I just want to do it because I'm sitting here reviewing, you know, Eat to Live as we talk. And I'm going, okay, I'm going to read this book again. And
let me get a little bit of cheese.
Yeah. But after reading this book, I'm like, no, I don't want any dairy.
Right.
So.
Especially cheese. Oh my goodness.
Cheese is so good.
Cheese is probably one of the most single-handedly one of the most delicious foods ever to exist.
I know. Why does it have to be that way?
I know. But it's so destructive. It really is. All the properties in it.
And it really is. I will consider it, though, a victory if, you know, I basically completely banish it from out of my diet, or I had it so infrequently that I couldn't remember, you know?
The thing about cheese is that it's hard to replicate cheese. Like, you know, people have done a lot to try and replicate meat. They've done a lot to try to replicate milk. But cheese, like, cheese, you just can't replicate cheese.
No, you can't. You can't. But I think, you know.
Especially on pizza.
I am not a melty
cheese.
I'm not a researcher, so I really don't know this. But I know the French people who are very into cheese. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching this documentary, and they had this, like, catacombs of different types of cheese. Some of the cheese looks so runny. Ugh. Some of it looks so, like, just moist and firm. It was just so, it just looked amazing.
Right.
But they were all, like, trim. And you know why? Because they're eating more nutrient-dense foods, period, over there.
Right.
So even that.
Cheese is supplements.
Exactly. So what I'm not advocating, like, you know, well, the French do it, so let's all eat cheese. Because I have no idea if they still have high incidences of heart attacks or stroke. I have no idea. All I can say was that a lot of them were still slim. That's all I can say.
Right.
So.
And I'm sure that the source of where they're getting their cheese is probably more pure than, you know, the source where we, you know, the vast manufacturing of cheese.
Oh my goodness. To even get into that. Oh.
Right.
Anyway, we at least at some point we definitely have to talk about that and some documentaries that we've seen. But anyway, today we just want to let you know, go and review this book, Eat to Live. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you.
I mean,
change your life.
It will. Do you like how I do live to eat, where you just like enjoy food so much? Well, you know, enjoy it a little bit longer. Like, enjoy food a little bit longer by just making sure that you are self-control.
Yeah.
And eating in moderation. So it doesn't mean that you can never have a piece of chocolate again. It doesn't mean that you can never. But practice tasting. I think that was one of the things that was just amazing for me when I discovered it. That, wait a second, you mean that I can just taste something?
Well, so last week while we were out of town, Mirthal would go and he would be like, oh, let's try this restaurant. He would get the stuff, take out, literally take like two bites and like, okay, I'm done. And then give it away to one of my family members.
But the thing about it is this. I love tasting things because I get to taste it, but I don't have the repercussions of eating it in excess. And then I just get it out of my system. The fact that I'm a food connoisseur, so I just want to be able to just taste that thing and then that's good. You know, a drink and then that's it. But I could never get to that place until we got to a certain financial level. At least I felt that way. I feel like I could have. But, you know, big on my mind was, oh man, I just spent $2 on that drink. Or I just spent, you know, $5 on that plate of food. I have to eat it. And when you have a better financial security, you start realizing that wealth is not so much what, you know, the money. Wealth is something even bigger than that. And so I stopped to think, wait a second, I can throw this in the garbage, still get the desired pleasure of just tasting it, but it not affecting my true wealth, which is my health. Or I could throw it in my mouth. If I throw it in my mouth, you know, it's still going nowhere. Like what makes me say that? Because I spent money on this. It's better to throw it in my mouth than to throw it in a garbage.
Well, and that's the thing. You have to get to the point where you understand, and not just you, but I'm saying we all have to understand that true wealth is, you shouldn't have to wait for, you know, a financial difference in order to realize that, because, you know, your health is your true wealth.
True wealth. And I just want to encourage somebody. I don't know if I'm making sense, because I might not even be making sense to you, but I just came to the discovery that I would rather throw something in the garbage after tasting it, so that I would both get the pleasure of being able to taste it and then be able to have good health.
I mean, I understand, and I think everyone does. I think I'm just reiterating that You definitely don't have to be a, let's say, a millionaire
mm-hmm.
in order to throw out a $2 piece of, you know, a $2 right. meal.
Who cares? Just throw mm-hmm. it away. Throw it away. It's not, you know, you don't have to have the whole bag of chips. You literally can eat two chips, throw the whole thing away, and don't sit there and worry about the money.
It's right, just, because if you had realized that, let's say, years ago, there would be certain places you'd be with your health right now.
I totally agree.
And years ago, we didn't have any money.
I know.
So if we had still practiced this whole just taste or whatever.
But that's the thing. Man. I would be so obsessed with, like, I have to finish my food. And I think, you know, even when you're raised as a younger person and you're around the table, you know, that same poverty mindset, like, you must finish your food. There are starving children in Africa. That kind of
sense. It's funny. As I've been married to you, you would not just finish your food. If I left food,
yes.
you had to finish my food.
Yes.
If the kids left food, you would finish their food.
Right.
And like, I was just like, Myrthal, you don't have to do that. Like, you don't have to finish all everybody's plates. Let me drink half my juice and let totally, me eat half my thing. Like, I don't want it.
I almost thought it was sacrilegious to watch food go down the drain. Or
you would be watching me like a hawk. Right. Like, are you going to finish that? And I feel like I'd have to feel like, okay, should I finish this? Finally, I was just like, forget it. I know I don't want it. I don't right. want it, you know? And then you'd just be like, you just like the Hoover vacuum. Those plates would be clean.
Right. But it's just, I mean, I know somebody is going to feel what I'm saying and identify yeah. with, you know, that particular element of my experience. And I can't tell you enough how rewarding, how freeing it is to be able to know that you can throw away food. It's okay. You can throw it away. You know, if I could go to somebody and say to them, to a vendor or a merchant, and say to them, listen, can I just buy like just 3 spoonfuls of this? But they don't want to. What they want to do, they want to give you the big
Okay, the portion sizes right now are ridiculous.
They're just ridiculous.
Like, even like if you go to like Chipotle, why do I need such a fat burrito? Honestly, this is ridiculous.
I went to a Chinese restaurant and I just wanted to taste it. I really didn't want it. And it was almost like I was offending the person for not taking everything. I was like stopping them after they put like a few noodles on my thing and then a little bit of rice. I was like, okay, that's in a... And it's almost like they were offended. Like, I'm going to still pay the same amount of money. I just don't even want it on my plate.
Yeah.
And then you could save, but they were just, they seemed offended. Like, what? You think that I'm not going to, you know, you're going to still pay the same amount. I understand that, you know, but.
Oh, that's what it was. They thought you were going to try to cheat them.
Maybe.
But, you know, I remember when I was working, remember at that hospital? I was working a few years ago, actually more like now 6 years ago. And I remember at lunch, I would only eat like a portion of my food and then throw it out. One of my coworkers would say, Rita, you waste too much food. And I would say, no, I just had enough. You should not be wasting all that food.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, first of all, it's my body.
Right.
Secondly, why is this affecting you? And, you know, at that point in time, I still wanted to lose weight. So it wasn't even like I did it to lose weight. I was just more like, I was probably that. And I literally just did not want anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But she used to, like, every meal, I'm waiting to see if you lose weight. Actually, you know, I, even now, I have a friend who says, no, Rita, you got to eat more. This, her angle is not so much that I'm wasting food. Her angle is like, you know, oh, you got to eat more to rev up your metabolism, which is a whole nother diet.
Right.
But still, the point that I'm making is that we have this thing about when we see somebody leaves food on a plate, mm-hmm. we want to comment on it. We want to say like, what are you doing? Or your kids, we made this food for you, eat it. And,
right.
you know, and it's like, we got to like get off, like let's get off each other's backs and let people eat what they want to eat.
Right.
Even if it's well-meaning, I understand it. It's well-meaning. But at the same time, it's like, we can't guilt people into eating more.
No, it's true. But a good rule of thumb, and we're not guilting you and we're not telling you, but what I'm saying is a good rule of thumb is if you look at your plate and you find that there is not a lot of nutrients on it, then you could do well by just tasting it. It's okay to taste it and throw it away. You know, you don't have to just never eat anything that tastes good anymore. That is not nutrient dense.
Right.
You can still, but practice tasting. I find that tasting, you could still enjoy life. And so eat to live. If you live to eat, meaning that you love food, is a big part of living for you, and it is a big part of just tasting, then start shifting from thinking that you have to eat that to fill your belly to just taste that. And then when it's time to sit down and truly take care of your body, that's when you can eat. That's when you can actually have a good portion. And
right, but I think we have to limit mm-hmm. the tasting.
Definitely.
I'm talking about it. I don't think that he's advocating like tasting every day.
No, because that's not eating. You know what I mean?
Basically.
And he's not a big snacker. He says that, you know, you should just eat at your mealtime.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big thing for him. Like, don't snack in between meals, you know, just eat your mealtime. So if you're sitting down around the table, you're really sitting down to be able to give nutrition to your body. If your body is craving something, maybe because, you know, you've been eating it for a while and your body's conditioned to that, then a good way to wean yourself off is to just taste. So I'm kind of advocating that. Be a tastetarian.
A tastetarian?
Yeah. That reminds me of when I used to eat meat and I was trying to wean myself off of meat. I became a gravitarian.
What's that?
Eating the gravy.
Okay, for some odd reason, I thought about a grave. I was like, what?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I mean, the gravy in and of itself, when you're a gravitarian, I'm just going to own that word. When you're a gravy,
I don't like it because I think of cemeteries.
A gravy-itarian? Gravy-itarian?
I'd rather it be awkward like that.
A gravy-itarian.
Versus gravitarian, yes.
Okay, well, when you're a gravy-itarian,
yes,
it's almost like you're eating meat. Because you're just getting the best part, the savory part of like when I used to eat oxtail. Oh, my goodness.
But see, this is cultural oxtail, because right. A lot of your food comes with sauces.
That's true. And a lot of people don't have that in their culture.
So, like, let's say just regular, like, way American, you know, type of food, like rotisserie or fried. Have gravy. Yeah, there's not really a gravy. So,
right. But you know. In the West Indian culture, like, I don't have to have chicken. I could just have the curry from the chicken.
But you do know that that's full of oil.
Well, and it's horrible.
And he says you got to stay away from the oil.
I mean, I'm not trying to say that this is good.
So basically, you're an oilitarian.
Well, I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying that, like, when it just reminded me of that, like, you know, just eating that and just the tastetarian.
Hey, we all have our ways. When I was trying to stop watching shows that I felt were really just like not good for my soul, mm-hmm. what I would do to wean myself off was I would stop watching it, but I would read the recap.
Right.
And when I read the recap, I eventually started saying, man, this show is dumb. And then I got off of it and I just stopped watching it.
There you go. I'm just trying to give some people some life hacks because everything is not perfect. Some eating hacks. Everything is not perfect. And some, you know, you're never going to hear this from the gurus and the professionals and the people that are doing peer review. There is no peer review on gravitarian. There's no peer review on tasting. Like, I'm just telling you from experience, from one foodie to another, from someone that may be struggling with emotional eating. These are ways that you can actually tangibly get yourself off. If you don't want to, you know, if you want to start eating more vegetables, you know, pour a little gravy over it. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying.
Oh, boy. This is definitely not Joel Fuhrman, Dr. Fuhrman's advice. This is from quasi-Dr. Murthal. But I will say this, that let us know how it goes. I would say over the next few months, because you just started doing that.
Right.
So if you do that and...
No, I didn't just start doing the gravy. I'm off the gravy.
No,
now.
The tastetarian.
Tastetarian, yeah.
If you, you know, let's see what kind of results you get. Because if you don't get good results, then the people
need to
know.
I'm going to have to retract
it. The people need to know. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Join us again Monday through Friday. Show notes are found on theonyxlife.com. Join our Facebook, The Onyx Life. Follow us on Twitter at The Onyx Life and on Instagram at The Onyx Life Official.
Now go live that Onyx Life, where change comes with challenge. See you next time.